Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 17, from the verse number 11 to the verse number 25. Let us read with the help of our Lord. 17:11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven, shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. This is the passage that I desired for us to read today. And now let us take a moment to worship our Lord in prayer and thanksgiving to his name. Our Heavenly Father, thou art worthy that we offer unto thee our life and living, soul and body, mind and spirit. Thou deservest, O Father, that we love thee with all of our heart, our time, strength, and everything that thou hast given to us to be the stewards over the gifts thou hast given us, O Lord. Holy Father, we pray unto thee that thou make us truly thy children of the new covenant, that thou, O Heavenly Father, make us true followers of the Savior, that we may truly and indeed worship thee and serve thee, obey thee and obey thee with love and gratitude for the grace that thou art bestowing upon us, seeing that we of ourselves are not worthy of any good. Help us to worship thee as Lazarus the beggar did. Help us to worship thee, O Lord, as Job did. Help us to worship thee as thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, did. And as the apostles followed him, O Father, grant us also to follow him. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, may that holy and wonderful, glorious name of thine be honored, hallowed in our hearts. That thy kingdom, O Lord, may fill our inner man. Thou remove every spot, every stain of sin, every shadow of darkness, and fill us with the light of thy presence, O Lord. O may thy will be done in our daily walk, but in our hearts first. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, thy good and pleasant will, thy will that leads through strife, battle, suffering, through shame, to everlasting glory. Thy will that leads us through the worship here on this earth, to the worship around thy throne. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, may this holy word of thine be our manna from above, the teaching of thy beloved Son and his example to be the fountain of living water for us, that we may be as thy flock, led to evergreen pastures and beside the still waters. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we pray that thou daily correct us, that thou instruct us, that thou, O Heavenly Father, forgive us every disobedience, ignorance. Forgive us our doubts and fears, superstitions. Lord, thou purify our thinking, emotions, affections. Make our soul free from vanity and pride, lust of the flesh, lust of eyes. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, thou give us a loving and forgiving heart, a loving and understanding mind, a soul peaceful, peace-loving and peacemaking, walking in the Savior, upholding the gospel teaching in our daily walk. Gracious Lord, may thy Holy Spirit fill our hearts, illuminate our minds by thy truth, encourage and strengthen our inner man, and fill our souls with the abundance of thy peace, full reliance upon thy will, O God. How good is thy goodness, O God. How perfect is thy unfailing faithfulness, O Lord. Grant us to enjoy that peace and joy of thy salvation. Lord, keep us from the pollution of the world. Keep us from idolatry. Keep us, O Lord, from the filth of the flesh, confusion of mind, corruption, of that worldly spirit. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, Thou hast the grace. Thou hast that wonderful and glorious love to sanctify Thy redeemed ones, that we may not go through the temptations of lusting after evil and fearing before the threats of this life, but we may follow the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, O God, all the way up to Thy throne. Make our souls as the bridegroom adorned, as the bride adorned for the bridegroom. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, heal Thy people, strengthen Thy ministers, encourage Thy faithful ones, Lord. Gather Thy people from every corner. Exalt the name of the Savior, Lord. For Thine is the kingdom, and Thine is the power and glory. Glory and honor belong unto Thee forever. Amen. Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 17, verse 11 and on. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. I would think that this right away indicates that there was a mixture of people. There were some Jewish people, or perhaps even some Hebrews from the other tribes of the Hebrew nations, and there were some Samaritans that were brought from other countries, and probably there were some Roman and Greeks, and you know, these people were all mixed. I don't know how many of them were in this area, but we read here they entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And see, Jews would like to be separated from the Samaritans, and not without a reason. Samaritans would not find it enjoyable to live together in close community with the Jews, for obvious reason. The people that are despised and rejected cannot enjoy that treatment, so to say, or that kind of a relationship. And yet, when they are brought down and brought low, as the lepers are, they can live together. The life becomes so hard, so difficult, so oppressive, so mean, that they have to be together. And so there are 10 lepers, and apparently they, at least if they don't live together as a household, but at least they are together as a community. That's how I see that. Perhaps somebody has better insight to this passage. But it seemed to me that they were together at least in their misery, living as lepers. They had something in common. But now we see that these lepers also have something in common. They need someone to heal them. They need somebody to deliver them. And so they stood afar off. They may not come close because they are unclean. Leprosy is a transferable disease, very dangerous. The people that did not suffer leprosy, the general population, had no tolerance to leprosy. I I don't know how reliable are the other sources that tell us if one or more lepers were found in a place where there is traffic, where there are many people of the general population, that the lepers could have been stoned to death because they dared to come in and mix with the people. These lepers stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And the answer was, "Go and show yourselves unto the priests." Didn't look like too much mercy. Didn't sound like great help at the moment. But these people had no choice. They may not come to the Lord and to the group of the people that are with Him unless they are invited. They turned away and they went their way to the priest. But 9 of them are going to their priest. The law secured the access to the priest. A leper claiming to be cleansed from his leprosy, healed from his leprosy, has the right, according to the law, to go to the priest and ask to be examined, and to receive official certificate, not necessarily written, maybe written too, I don't know. Confirmation of the healing that took place. And after that, this former leper is allowed to join his family, his neighbors, his friends, he's clean. 9 of them are expecting that. They believed the word of the Lord Jesus. They went to the priest. As they were walking to the priest, they were healed. The moment the leprosy disappeared, they become again Jews and Samaritans. I don't know how to explain this, but it's such a grief. There is something bitterly painful in that fact, that in their suffering, they were together. In their healing, they were separated. What was the difference? The law? The barriers? The wall of division between Jews and Gentiles? Or what is the reason? Why did these lepers right away cease to be friends the moment they were healed? One of them had no access to the priest. He was a Samaritan. He belonged to an unclean group of people. Truly unclean. If we read about the Samaritans, their customs and their religion, they were awfully unclean. Yet the Lord said that the unbelieving people of God will be more severely judged than Sodom and Gomorrah. I really did not plan to share this with you. I'm just sharing as it comes. So, this man is cleansed, but there is no one to confirm that. There is no certificate for this man. He is Samaritan. He turned around And he goes back to that prophet. The priest will not accept him, but this Jesus of Nazareth, this prophet that the priests condemned so many times, his word brought healing to this man, and he turned around and he's going to the source. He's going to the source, to the channel, to the place where he received the healing. There he's going to give glory to God. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was still there. He's waiting for this man. And even if the Lord was walking around, he didn't go far away, not that quickly. And I would think that this healing took place just shortly after they heard the words, the instruction of the Lord. This man has a desire. To thank God. For many years of bitter suffering, agonizing life, without hope of ever being healed, suddenly he is relieved. It took but a cry. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So he came back. The words did not come first. You see, the words of human language are not always the best expression or the most, I don't know how to say that. There are other ways and means. When we cannot say what we feel, perhaps that's when we say more than ever. Especially to him that knows what is in the heart. So this man cast him down. He threw himself down. He fell down on his face at the feet of the healer, giving him thanks. You know, wherever our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was, there was the kingdom of heaven. This man, if I understand this passage correctly, this man was the only one that was healed. The other ones were healed outwardly. This man was healed from inside out. His heart was healed. His mind was healed. His body, his flesh was healed. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." We see the King of Kings. Oh yes, he is in a pilgrim's robe. He is just a despised and rejected prophet from Nazareth. The Pharisees said, "Look, no prophet comes from Galilee." You know that some New Testament prophets came from Samaria. when they believed the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they proclaimed the gospel around them, they were the prophets of the prophet above all prophets, the messengers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Now the king is inquiring about the faithfulness of his servants. Remember that story? When he returned, after he received the kingdom, he called his servants to see what each one has received. So, the Lord is inquiring now, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? None of them is found to return to give glory to God, save this stranger." Well, did the Lord himself tell them, "Go and show yourself to the priest"? He didn't say, "If it really happened and you get cleansed, you come back and give glory to God." No, he didn't say that. You see, the healing, the true relationship with the Lord is not in observing strict commandments, but in keeping his word and doing his will. What do I mean by strict commandments? You know, some people take the Bible, the Word of God, and they say, "Well, the Lord said this, we keep that." They don't work on the Sabbath day. No. If their neighbor's house will burn up, they will just say, "God's will be done." I don't know what will they do if their house burn up. Maybe then God's will be to use some water and put the fire out. They also look into the book and they said, "The Lord said that if any man will divorce his wife except for adultery, he is actually causing her to commit adultery." So, they grab that word "except," and then they say, "Yes, for some immorality or inorderly life, it is all right to divorce." You see? They are stripping the commandments of God of their full meaning in order to satisfy their carnal desires. Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Well, the 9 did this, I think. They looked, "Oh, we are cleansed. The leprosy is gone. Let's rush to the priest and get our confirmation that we are clean, and then we join the regular life and enjoy all that we lost for so many years that we were deprived of and so on. Now we are going to make up for that." And they totally forgot. They didn't even stop to think who gave them the healing. You know, their soul still had leprosy. They were lepers. And this one Samaritan was healed and made whole. And that is what separated them. You see? And so today, the people that are called by the name of God are separated to those that cast themselves down at the feet of the Savior and glorify God for their inner healing. And the other group that has outward healing and have no inward gratitude and no true and lasting relationship with the Savior. How can we detect, how can we see if we have the true relationship with the Lord or not? How can we know that we are really ready to wait for the bridegroom and not having the appearance that is just for a time and will not last until the moment when the home of light and joy is open to get in and be with the bridegroom, to join the celebration, the feast? How can we know that? The Lord said that the wise virgins took oil with their lamps, and the foolish ones did not. I wonder if the foolish virgins noticed the difference, or did they feel, oh, look at those virgins that think they are wise. But the fact is that we don't know. We don't know when He is coming. And that fact demands readiness. Now, or in our old age, or any time in between. Did the wise virgins notice the difference? Why they didn't tell to the foolish virgins, hey, look, you have no spare oil. What if the bridegroom tarry and we have to wait longer? What happened? How come there was nothing to correct the foolish virgins? You know how? The foolish religious people will not be corrected. They just will not be corrected. They know they are wise. And that's the awful predicament of the humanity. But back to the question, how can we know that we are waiting for the Lord and that our relationship is such a one that will last until He's coming and be confirmed by Him, acceptable to Him, and that relationship that we have now will, at the moment we meet our Lord, our Bridegroom, accelerate, transition into a glorious relationship that will never end. Eternity. How can we know that? I wish I could. And I'm not even sure I wish that, but I think it might be better if I could give you a whole list of the verses and passages in the scripture that explain that. But I will tell you what I have in my heart and what I had in my experience so far. And then may the Lord give you grace to make up for what I lack. And take time and search through the scripture and see if that is so or not. The battle between the old and the new is as severe, as clear is our vision of paradise and hell. If we can grasp the difference between eternal glory and eternal doom, then we will seek and receive and find that grace from the Lord to battle until we are victorious. Until that relationship is so strong that we live and walk in the fellowship of His Holy Spirit. Now, let's see how it goes. We hear the Word of God first time, or in the beginning, or at least at the time when we start thinking, considering and reacting, when we quit just pushing it away and saying, oh, who cares for that stuff? We hear the Word of God, and the Word of God is condemning us. The Word of God is also calling us. It's not a condemnation, depart from me. No. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Depart from me is coming, but that's going to be the last statement of the King to those that disobey the Word of God. But now, He is saying, come unto me. And we come unto Him, and every step we come closer, we feel more filthy and more dirty and more sinful. And it's just awful. It's just awful. And sometimes it seemed that we came only a few steps separating us from Him, and then we fall down and we slide back. How awful. Oh, wretched man that I am. And then we desperately cry unto the Lord, just as these lepers did. Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. And the Lord gives healing. And He, in His goodness and mercy, in the arms of His love, He brings us to the point of His nearness. We, by His grace, overcome the sin, and sin has no power. We don't have to sin anymore. Victory. Oh, how wonderful. How great. Glorious. And we follow the Lord, and we walk with the fellow believers, and it's wonderful. And yet in our heart, there is still that sensitivity to sin. We still would like to enjoy it, but we don't have to. Sin has not anymore that power to rule over us. And we stop there. That's the foolish virgins. You see, that's not the end. That's not full victory. That's partial victory. Full victory is when we continue, we reach that victory when we continue in prayers until our heart is changed. And I hate sin, and I love the will of the Lord. And what the Lord says, I see that's the best and the most wonderful. And that's beautiful. Inwardly, outwardly, every dimension of that is the most beautiful. That's what I want. Now I'm a new man. That relationship will last. That is the kingdom of the Holy Spirit. That's what I believe. And that is the fortress of faith against which all the fiery darts of the enemy will fly. And Satan is trying to hit the target. What is his target on that fortress? The weakest spot. You see what happened. In this country, some of the fortresses, some of the military establishments were built of wood, logs. I think some of you have seen them. When the enemy surrounded that fortress, if the logs, the beams and everything was sound, strong, healthy, so to say, good material, all the fiery arrows that the enemies will shoot against that fortress will just fall down and probably burn the grass around the fortress. Nothing else. But if some of the beams were soft, rotten, and that arrow can shoot and stick into the beam, it will burn until the beam will start burning, and pretty soon the whole fortress will be on fire. That's what our enemy is doing. He is looking for some spot on our building of faith. He is looking for some weak place, point on our ship of faith where he can poke a hole and it will start leaking. And yes, many Christians suffered great loss, not suddenly, but because of a leakage that they didn't pay attention to. You know what happened? As little oil as the foolish virgins had in their lamps did not just explode and disappear. Oh no. It slowly burned up. It was still burning when they fell asleep. I would think so. If it started smoking and smoldering and kind of dying away before they fell asleep, they would have done something about that. The doom of the sinners is in being just a moment too late. Not part of eternity too late. No. That's not that crucial. The most critical, the most important is being just a moment late. I don't think that the generation of our father Noah did not want to repent until they got drowned in the waters of the great flood. No. They did not want to repent until the door of the ark was closed. Until the flood began. But now is not the time of repentance, it's the time of judgment. Remember that story that the Lord Jesus said when the king returned, he called his servants to see what each one of them did with the money entrusted to his stewardship. And the first one came, and the second, and the third. And then after that, he said, bring those men that did not want me to be the king. Cut them in pieces. When they brought these men, would you not think that they would rather do obeisance and accept the king? Of course. But it's too late. Why do I share this with you? To show how uncompromising is our enemy. Even though he's compromising all the time, he always keeps that one direction, looking for a chance to destroy our faith. And to destroy it gradually. You don't have to worship idols. Just worship the Lord, but cheat a little bit. Just a little bit. You know. That's what Judas did. He was just stealing. I don't think he was stealing great amounts. That would be visible. Just a tiny amount. Quite the opposite was the heart of the poor widow. She had a tiny amount and she offered that to the Lord. An acceptable sacrifice. Pleasing to the Lord. So, in the beginning, that was very important, not to consider ourselves victorious until our Savior and our King is having his kingdom in our heart. And there is nothing, pardon me, there is nothing that I am aware of in my heart that I keep from him. This is one little room in the building of my faith that is locked. The Lord has no business there. That's my private thing. And that is exactly the situation. When there is something that I would rather not do, I do it. I'll do it. I obey that because he wants me to. But I really don't enjoy it. I don't like it. I don't see that that's good. You see, when we do his will and we appreciate that, we are grateful for that, we love his will, then we are one with the Son and through the Son with the Father. Then is the time to go to the priest and to be confirmed as cleansed. That's the time to make our covenant with God public. What if we missed something? Well, let me tell you this. Everyone missed something. Everyone. But just let's not do that intentionally. And if we did, we should repent of that and start anew. And come before the Lord and say, Lord, heal me. I'm not healed. I need that healing again. In spite of thy great goodness and grace, I still have something of the old that is drawing me back. And the Lord is gracious and he is merciful. So, I think that the Lord cleansing, healing, saving, delivering is expecting what he really deserves, our full gratitude. Our full gratitude. Not to stand upright before him and say, Lord, thou hast done a good thing because I am of the seed of Abraham. No. This Samaritan man, he threw him down before the Lord at the feet of the Savior. Why? Why did he do that? Such a dramatic expression of gratitude. Because he knew he was not worthy of that. He couldn't earn it. He didn't deserve it. It was a gift of God's grace. As soon as a Christian lost that feeling, that awareness, he became vulnerable. His soul is in danger. And how great that danger can be. As soon as we have our right before the Lord, everything turns wrong. We read here further that the Lord said to this man, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. It's just amazing. It's beyond the limits of my understanding. How can the Lord of heaven, this Jesus of Nazareth, say something like that? Thy faith hath made thee whole. Do we see here that divine fellowship? All that Father has is mine. He never left me alone because I always do his will. Father gives everything to the Son, and Son does everything to glorify the Father. There is no selfish demand between the Father and the Son. The Father does not tell the Son, Son, I am the Father, remember that forever. And Son does not tell to the Father, give me the part of the inheritance that belongs to me. No. It's all giving. The Lord healed this man. The faith of this Lord would do nothing without, the faith of this man would do nothing without the grace of God. Just nothing. What is human faith? Even if we believe in God or we think we believe in God, it does nothing to us. Did not the prophets of Baal have faith? Even so much that for hours they were chanting, Baal, O Baal, hear us. And finally they take their knives and their piercers or whatever they have, and they wounded themselves, they injured themselves until they were bleeding profusely. Didn't they believe that Baal will hear? Did the faith do anything? No. Nothing. But faith in the Lord Jesus Christ involves obedience and gratitude. Where did that faith come from? How did this Samaritan man acquire such a faith? How did he obtain that faith? Such an amazing God we have. Such a wonderful Savior. This leper was among the Hebrew lepers. And the Lord Jesus Christ prevented this leper from leaving them, from thinking, hey, this prophet will not heal me because I'm Samaritan and the Jews don't mix with the Samaritans, they hate us. No. He cried together with the other nine. Jesus, Master! How the Holy Spirit works in the hearts of men. A Samaritan leper called our Lord Jesus Master. Oh, by the way, we are similar to Samaritans. I don't think anyone of us is pure-blooded Jew or Hebrew. If there was ever such a thing like pure Hebrew blood. But, oh, by the way, there is no purity in human blood anyway. So, just to make something clear and not to leave more room for misunderstanding. This leper called our Lord Jesus Christ Master and the one whose mercy can heal. How could he ever do that? The Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ worked there. And then he received the healing. And he returned back to thank the Lord Jesus for the healing. And the Lord is crediting this man. Thy faith made thee whole. You know, I think about our pilgrimage. I think about all the mistakes that I made in my ministry. All the wrong things, misunderstandings. Perhaps I rebuked somebody when that person needed comfort. Perhaps I comforted somebody when that person needed correction. Perhaps I failed. Oh, I shouldn't say perhaps. I failed to love wholeheartedly the one that abused me. I failed to share the Word of God with those that rejected the Word of God. The best things that I did were not good enough. And I come before the Lord on that day among those that will say, Lord, when did I ever feed thee hungry and give thee water? Visited thee and when did I anything good for thee? And the Lord still says, come, O ye blessed. Because he did all the good things and carried me along in the arms of his patient, tender love. And then, in the end, he offers the reward of life everlasting and joy forever for all that he has done in my life. The oil that will not be spent before the time. The oil that supplies what is needed for the light of faith until we come to seeing. The faith will be set aside. It has completed its work, its effect, its purpose. And then we will see that what we believed. The Word of God is truth. The truth. That oil, that relationship, that strength is the Lord in us when we walk in Him. That relationship will not be broken. It will continue and will be more and more wonderful. That's something of what the Lord said to the Pharisees. The kingdom of God cometh not with the outward signs or outward dimensions, worldly dimensions. Satan said to the Lord, look, all the kingdoms of this world. And our Lord and Savior says, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, I understand that this can be, and perhaps should be understood, it is within, amongst themselves, our Lord Jesus Christ, the King, having the kingdom in Himself, was right there, in their midst. And because they rejected Him, they cannot see the kingdom of God. They look in wrong directions. But when we walk with the Lord, we are in the kingdom. When the Lord's Spirit is in our hearts, the kingdom is in our hearts. But we have no other testimony that the kingdom is in our hearts but obedience, faithfulness, fellowship with the Lord. May the Lord give us grace to follow Him, to obey His word, to do it from the heart, to love Him, to worship Him in our hearts. And if we see that there is some resistance and some preference other than His will, let us acknowledge that before Him and let us pray. Seek to find, knock to have it opened, and ask to receive. Blessed be His name forever. Amen.